The Holy Gospel. On page 31 in the New Testament section of the Church Bible, page 31, the Holy Gospel is written in the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, beginning at the 47th verse. A passage chosen for Bible Sunday, the attitude of the Lord Jesus to the Bible. Matthew 26:47. While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck out at the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to the Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?" This is the Gospel of Christ. Lord, you have given to us your precious and holy word. Make that book live to us now, we pray, and teach us of your own truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to invite you to the pictures this morning. I've got three pictures for you, taken from the prophet Jeremiah. And because I am, as you know, so intensely kind to you, I'm not going to suggest to you that you open your Bibles, because very often the prophets in the Old Testament, the most difficult thing about them is finding them in the first place. So let me just read to you my pictures from the prophet Jeremiah, and will you exercise your imaginations and see before your very eyes the things that I read to you. So here's the first picture, and the obvious title for this picture is Dictation. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you." Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll, at Jeremiah's dictation, all the words of the Lord. Can you see that picture? Jeremiah went off to the Jerusalem branch of W.H. Smith, and he bought a blank scroll. And he brought it back, and he summoned Baruch, who in modern terminology was his PA. And it says Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation all the words of the Lord. Jeremiah and Baruch got into trouble with the authorities over this for a reason that we'll find out in a moment. And they hauled Baruch up before them and asked them how this all happened. And Baruch said to them, "He dictated all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the scroll." And both those references to dictation are just a little more vivid in the Hebrew. He spoke all these words to me with his mouth, and I kept writing them down in the scroll. Now, can you see that? You can see Jeremiah's mouth actually moving, can't you? As he pronounced each word distinctly, and you can see Baruch's pen moving as he wrote each word down. Can you see it? Watch the pen. It's going on what you would call the wrong direction. It's going from right to left. Of course, there's no such thing as the wrong direction. No language goes backwards. I heard a lady say once in public, "Of course, Hebrew goes backwards. How can any language go backwards?" Hebrew got there about 2,000 or 3,000 years before English, so if anything is going backwards, it's not Hebrew. Watch his pen. It's going from left to right, and as Jeremiah says a word, Baruch is writing it down. Have you got my first picture? It's obviously called dictation. I don't know why Jeremiah didn't write it himself. I think possibly Baruch was a better handwriter. His handwriting was clear. Jeremiah's handwriting was probably a scribble. "Oh no, you write nicer letters than I do. You do it." You see, it's all in the interests of accuracy and clarity. Now, you can take that picture, dictation, and you can apply it not just to the book of Jeremiah, but to the whole Bible. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "Write down all the words that I have said to you." And Baruch wrote down all the words that Jeremiah said to him. There's a great mystery, isn't there? Isn't there? How can the words of God be the words of man? We don't know. We don't know how the Lord communicated his words to his prophet. Notice the plural, his words. We don't know how he communicated his words to the prophet. And each prophet conveyed those words in words that came naturally to him, because they're all so different. Now, the only way I can help myself and you to understand that is to use an illustration, because the Bible never explains it to us. But if you look past me, you will see what we call a stained glass window. I'm not a great one for stained glass windows, to tell you the truth, but I've come to love that stained glass window. What is a stained glass window? It's a window that makes the pure light of the sun tell a story. Outside, you have what we are pleased to call the pure light of the sun. Inside, that light is telling a story. It hasn't been marred by doing so. It hasn't been falsified. It has been made to do what the designer of the window intended it to do. And in a sense, all the Bible writers are like that. They have been prepared by the Lord for the task. This is what Jeremiah tells us about himself, or rather what the Lord told Jeremiah about Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you were born, I set you apart for myself. Jeremiah was a prepared person. All the Bible authors were prepared persons, so that when the pure light of the sun struck them, they were like stained glass windows. And they were enabled to tell the story of the words of God. That's what your Bible is. Carefully recorded story of the words of God. Dictation. Well, Baruch went off with Jeremiah's scroll and he began reading it in public. The Lord said to Jeremiah, if it's all written down in a book, I better find that verse for you. There it is, all the words that I spoke to you. It may be that when the house of Judah hears all the disasters I intend to do to them, they will turn from their evil ways so that I may forgive them. The Lord had it put down in a book so that it would be more impressive and come home more powerfully to his people. At any rate, Baruch went off into the temple and began to read this great scroll that Jeremiah had dictated and he had written. And the authorities, called here the princes, they arrested him and they brought him into their company, and then they thought the thing so serious that they went off to the king with the scroll, and the scroll was read before the king. And here's another picture for you. My second picture, and it's called Desecration. You ready for it? A man named Jehudi. Jehudi brought the scroll to the king. Now, the king was sitting in his winter apartment, and there was a fire burning in a brazier before him. As Jehudi read three or four columns of the scroll, the king would cut them off with a penknife and throw them into the fire in the brazier until the whole scroll was consumed in the fire. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine taking your Bible and throwing it into the fire? The Word of God was met with desecration. That's my second picture. This precious Word, so carefully recorded, this precious Word, so completely burnt up. And then there's a third picture, and it's called duplication. I thought three words beginning with D was rather clever, actually. It happened quite accidentally. But there they are, dictation, desecration, and duplication. Here it is. After the king had burnt the scroll with the words that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll." See, the word of God is imperishable. The powers that be, or people like us, the non-powers, we can throw the scriptures to one side. We can't get away from them. Take another scroll and write it all out again. The word of God is the imperishable word that can't be escaped. Three pictures. Dictation, the careful record of what God has said. Desecration, it wasn't wanted, it was burnt. Duplication, it's back again as it was before because it can't be destroyed. Now, I don't know how you would like to apply those words to yourself. Having the written word of God, there for us to read. What a privilege. Throw it into the fire. What a possibility. Well, of course we wouldn't, would we? But we can leave it to gather dust. We can let a day pass without opening the book. It's just our equivalent of cutting it up with a penknife and throwing it into the fire. We might as well have done. How many people all around us were given Bibles at their confirmation and they've never been opened? Might as well have been burned. So what about you and me? What a privilege to possess the carefully recorded record of what God has said. And what a shame if a day passes and we haven't read it. Do you chaps remember your courting days, as we used to call them, and your engagement days? And were you separated from your beloved and dependent on letters? And do you remember how avidly you waited for a letter to arrive? And then you said to yourself, "Blow it, I won't bother reading that till tomorrow." One of the clear signs of our love for the Lord Jesus is our love for the word that he has written, his letter of love to us. What a privilege. And Jeremiah thought, if I can only put this down in words on paper, it'll be just that bit more impressive for the people. Maybe they'll listen. Oh, could Jeremiah have foreseen printing and widely disseminated books, and you and I not dependent on one copy of the Bible lying on a lectern in a church, but there by our bedside, there to hand on our table, my Bible. You see, the element of responsibility, what a beautiful responsibility. The element of responsibility mounts up, doesn't it? For God has not only spoken his word and presided over the careful recording of his word, but he has invented printing and given you the Bible that's in your hand so that it may be in your head and in your heart. and it cannot be evaded. This is what Jesus said. John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not accept my words, he has something that will pass judgment on him. The word which I have spoken, that will judge him at the last day. So that's what we'll be asked. How'd you get on with your Bible reading? I don't know what your practice is, but if you haven't been a daily Bible reader, for whatever reason, good or bad, why don't you start? And I'll tell you what to do. Start with Luke's Gospel. L-U-K-E, Luke. It's full of lovely stories. I don't believe there's a word in it that we can't understand. People often say, oh, I can't understand the Bible. Nonsense. Read the Gospel of Luke. And when you've finished reading the Gospel of Luke, read it again. Until it begins to get into your fibers. We've been given four Gospels because there's something that's four times more important than anything else in the Bible to read about Jesus. So when you've read Luke and read it again, read John and read Mark and read Matthew. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I'll tell you a story about my mother. My mother and father were church-going folk, but never, to my knowledge, opened a Bible at home. At any rate, Beryl and I got married, and we went to live in Wolverhampton, that blessed and marvelous Athens of the Midlands. And as soon as we got married, we did what we wanted to do. We had a brief Bible reading together at the end of the day, and a brief word of prayer together. And then Mother and Father came to visit us. And we felt really put on the spot. Now what do we do? And suddenly we were given resolution and courage, and we said, blow that for a game of soldiers. We end every day with reading the Bible. If they want to come and stay with us, then they'll end the day reading the Bible with us. So we did. Not making a great song and dance about it, but with great trepidation. We were given, I think by the Lord's help, courage to do in our home what we had done every day since we were married. And every day since. At any rate, there it was, and it passed without comment. And then we discovered that when Mother and Father went home, they were reading the Bible at the end of the day. And my mother used to write, I think Father had developed arthritis in his fingers at a very early age because he never put pen to paper. But my mother used to write, and she used to say, we read this last night and we didn't understand it. And that would be in all her letters, something she didn't understand. And then I noticed that the bits she didn't understand were ceasing to appear in the letters. So I thought I'll ask her about it. I notice you don't find bits in the Bible that you don't understand. And she wrote back and said, oh no, we understand what we read perfectly now. You see, the Bible is like that. It brings its own understanding. You read a passage you don't understand, right, leave it. Go on and read something you do understand. Come back to it again. And again. And you'll find that the Word of God has brought its own meaning clearly to your mind. It's a magic book. So why don't you start? Now, I don't like to end on a threatening note, but it is in Jeremiah's pictures that the word of God is inescapable. What was desecrated was duplicated. Do you remember the third picture? You can't get away from the word of God. And at the last day, the question will be asked, how did you get on with your Bible reading?